This meeting is now being recorded.
Okay, welcome to the one who just joined us. The meeting is now recorded. Sébastien Bachelet is speaking. Welcome to everybody to the call. I would like first, if I can, at the end on the presentation in the Adobe Connect room, it will be great. And we will take as a roll call the people on the Adobe right now. If you have if you are not on Adobe and just on a call, please can you let us know now who you are? Okay. If nobody else, we have all the participants on Adobe. That's great. It's a long time we didn't have this discussion, this meeting of this group. We will try to get back to our work, but as you know, one of the reasons we didn't have so much meeting, it was because we wanted to have all the staff involved in this to help us for the review, and one of the first points was to have a feedback from legal to be sure that we don't have any trouble with the participant of the current and ex ombuds, and we will discuss that just after. Once again, staff, can I have the end on the presentation? Can I be a presenter, for example? Can you move me from participant to presenter? It will be great. Thank you very much. Any comments on the proposed agenda? Any addition or any other business you already know you will wish to raise it before the end of any other business part of the meeting? Okay, hearing none, I consider that you agree with the agenda, and for the moment there are no any other business, but we will come back on that. Okay, thank you. The first slide is to remind us what meeting we have up to Hyderabad. The next is the number as a participant, and we have one additional active participant. I don't know if she's here today, no. And we are supposed to be 22 at least in each meeting, but as you see, it's not the case. We have 20 observer, board liaison, and Mathieu Vales is, as a co-chair, decided to be in charge of each and every subgroup. One co-chair was assigned to us, and it's Mathieu Vales. I had some exchange yesterday with him on the meeting, and he was he got a flu, and I don't think he will join us, but he's following what we are doing. Next slide, it's we will come back on that. It's just to show that we had a tentative date on the 22nd of November, and importantly, we cancel it quite late. Sorry for that. And the next meeting will be in 10 days. We will come back to our Monday meeting, and we will come back on this to see if you agree with the proposed time slot at the end of the meeting. And now we will enter to the hard part of the discussion, and we will concentrate this call about the external review of the ICANN Ombuds Office, and we will discuss legal issue, procurement and issue, and an exchange with the staff who are doing organizational reviews and help to understand how we can manage this specific review. If you have any comments or questions, please raise your hand. I will try to give you the floor as soon as I see your hand. And about the legal question, we ask the following question. Is the current Akan Abouts and his predecessor placing himself in a conflict of interest by participating in the subgroup which will have responsibility for the external review of the office of the Ombudsman? If so, what should the Ombudsman do to avoid such a conflict? As we will see the answer, I will go to the next slide. The process was we sent that to the legal committee of the CCWG on WorldStream 2, and they sent this question to the ICANN legal team. The answer was, well, it's on the slide here. You have received it. It was sent by Leon Sanchez, the chair of this legal committee, and I will just read what it's in bold. We do not believe it's ICANN legal speaking that the scope of the work stream to work on the Ombudsman pose a conflict of interest. And in summary, if the Ombudsman or his predecessor is willing to participate in the subgroup's work, we see no legal reason why they should not participate. That's good. And we had some comments from the legal committee. Legal committee says that they have received the answer, review it, and discuss it. reply seems to be both legally reasonable and in line with common sense. I am not a lawyer, and I don't know what that means, common sense, in any legislation or any legal system, but it's interesting. And some member of the legal committee suggest that this seems to be more a policy question rather than a legal one. So in turn, we suggest, should the group choose to do so, to consider posting this question to the plenary group. Sorry. Any question, comments on that? Yes, please, go ahead.
I was trying to unmute my phone. Yeah. You can hear me now?
Now it's better. Go ahead.
Yes. Okay, good. Sebastian, I just wanted to mention, and for the benefit of the people in on this call, I've always considered myself a resource to the working group, and much less a participant. So I don't believe that will change, and I will just reaffirm now that my intention is to serve solely as a resource, offering advice or comments or recommendations only when asked. So I hope that may ease anybody's mind who feels that I am in some way attempting to influence the outcome of this group. And if the group needs any information or anything at all, I stand as a resource more than a participant. Thank you.
Thank you, Herb. Do we have somebody from ICANN Legal who wants to comment? Or okay. If not, thank you, Herb, for your feedback. And as I have answered to Chris Lahat, asking a question, it's not to because we wanted an answer that you can't participate, quite the reverse, but I have learned in this organization that sometimes you need to take a careful step, just you don't have a bad feedback later on, and to be sure that we are doing
I understand that, and, right. And your question is entirely legitimate. I don't question the involvement of legal in this at all, so it's perfectly fine with me.
And my suggestion is that we don't raise the issue to the plenary because we are happy with the answer, and we welcome the continuing participation or as resource, but as participant, if you wish to this work by the current ombudsman and the ex-admin Herb and Chris, and thank you for participating and spending time with us. Okay, thank you for that. If there is no comments, I would like to ask to go to the next issue. Next issue, it's around procurement. I put some idea of what we need to do, but I guess it's better if I give the floor to the procurement people, or I don't know in which sense you want to talk. I just will put that we have review people also from staff, and they will talk about both issues. And I give back the floor to staff, and you organize as you want for the presentation now. And please, I guess you have your own slides, and we can change it and go ahead with your presentation, please.
Thank you, Sebastian. This is Larissa Gernick, and I will start the next section of the conversation. And while the slides are being put up, I just wanted to introduce you know, the people that are part of the team that will be walking you through the next several slides. So myself, I work as part of the multi-stakeholder strategic initiatives team, MSSI. It's a mouthful, but the work that we do has to do with reviews, specific reviews, organizational reviews, as well as you already know many members of our team that have been providing support to the Workstream 2. So we come to you today to see about facilitating the process that you're about to undertake. And also with our group, we have a representative from our procurement team, and that's Vivek. We have Lars, who works with myself and Sharla. I'm actually working through the different reviews. So I know many of you probably know several of us in that context. Now if we could just go to the next slide, I'll give you some brief introductions to why we're here and what we hope to help you accomplish. So ATRT 2, which completed its work back in 2013, had issued various recommendations, and one of them, as you all know, was a recommendation to the board to have an independent review assessment of the ombudsman function. And while the implementation planning work was underway, that, of course, overlapped with the transition work and the work of Workstream 1 and 2. So that's kind of part of the history, but here we are now, and the idea is that there is definitely a connection to that ATRT 2 recommendation for which the implementation work was put on hold, on pause, if you will, because of all the transition efforts. And now we have the opportunity to make progress and advance the ATRT 2 recommendation, but also consider and incorporate and take advantage of extensive work that has been done by Workstream 1 and 2 towards improving accountability mechanisms. It's our goal to facilitate this process to make sure that it's a productive and useful independent assessment of the Office of the Ombudsman. And it's our goal to support this work such that the output of this effort of the independent expert could inform the work and the outcome of your subgroup, and most importantly, to inspire improvements in the important accountability mechanism that is the Ombudsman Office. We bring with our knowledge and experience some things that would hopefully be good leverage points for you all as you do your work. One is the ICANN's procurement process, and Vivek will give you a brief overview for how our team does this and why it's a pretty robust and disciplined process. We also obviously bring with us project management support that our team provides to many other similar activities, such as the specific and organizational reviews. And finally, we're happy that the funding that had been flagged for ATRT2 implementation on this point, we were able to leverage that to assist with funding this important work. So with that, I will turn it over to Lars, who will walk you through several important items, I think, for where you are in your work, some ideas for how we go through the process, what are the important considerations, where you will where we turn to you for your input and guidance feedback at the different points that we envision over the course of the next several months and so on. So with this, I'll turn it over to Lars. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Larissa, and thank you, everybody, for joining us and for letting us present here. Yes, I'm going to talk you through what it says here, kind of the scope of work, the evaluation criteria, the methodology, you know, of a review or of the assessment of the ombudsman as it could pan out over the next few months. So an RFP, you know, request for proposal is really what is sent out to kind of get an independent examiner to apply and hopefully contract to conduct such a review. And this RFP is really the you know, the starting, the foundation of this assessment process. And there's a couple of key issues that these RFPs contain, you know, scope of work, as I said here, you know, the evaluation criteria, the deliverables, you know, and the methods. So it's very important that we set this out from the beginning so the independent examiner knows what to expect, their work will be, and we also, you know, can expect of what they will do and what they will deliver and make sure that they assess those aspects that we want them to. And so Vivek, my colleague from procurement, will very briefly talk about more about the RFP process itself and how that is conducted. So you get to hear more about that aspect. I'm going to talk a little bit about the kind of things that would feature in an RFP, specifically here for something on the ombudsman. You know, so the objective, the scope of the work would essentially be, in as many words, to identify, you know, an independent reviewer to conduct an assessment of the current office, as well as obviously the charter and the operations of the ICANN Ombudsman, compare that against industry best practices, and then, of course, you know, provide recommendations that the independent examiner or assessor thinks are necessary to ensure that the Office of the Ombudsman has the tools, as well as, of course, the independence and the authority that they may need to be an effective voice for ICANN stakeholders. The work methods is another key component of the RFP. You know, for something like this, the assessment of the ombudsman, you're probably looking at something of that is relatively similar to other what we refer to as organizational reviews. So examination of documents and records and reports, obviously, that that relate to the Office of the Ombudsman, They would include one-on-one interviews with individuals deemed relevant to the examination. So in this case, obviously, there would be current and former holders of the office, as well as, you know, the wider community, because, you know, all of you have an interest in the functioning and are by definition, if you want, you know, a relative, a relevant person to this assessment. So, you know, they would conduct a wide range of interviews. You know, the observation, I'm sorry, obviously of the of the current Ombudsman Office, so the structure and operations, something like that could happen, for example, during the next ICANN meeting in Copenhagen. The consideration of inputs from the Ombudsman subgroup, so from you, obviously, you're conducting your work stream to work in this context, that it obviously is a very important component. And then also the consideration of inputs from public comments, if and when appropriate. The other or the next big thing that we would put in the RFP would be the deliverables, right? We want to make sure that we all agree that what comes out in the end is what we want and what the assessor can actually provide. So obviously, in terms of, you know, physicality, it would be a final report that is clearly structured. It needs to be based on facts. It needs to identify areas of concern, if they exist, and recommend how these can be addressed appropriately. You know, also, you obviously identify areas where some work very well and call that out as well. So part of this should be, obviously, this refers back partially to the scope to evaluate the current office of the Ombudsman, the existing charter, you know, make sure that these are corresponding to best practices in the industry. I don't want to read through all of it, but, you know, ascertain whether there are additional roles that could be assumed by the Ombudsman that they do not perform at the moment. And then also, obviously, how those, you know, additional roles or activities would interact, you know, with other ICANN accountability mechanisms to kind of make sure that, you know, the final report would fit neatly into the overall work of your group and works into in general. And then a key thing, the evaluation criteria. So once we get, you know, Vivek will talk about this, once we get the candidates kind of, you know, reply and apply to be the assessor or the independent examiner for this Ombudsman assessment, you know, and there's certain things that, you know, if you want neutral criteria against which those applicants are scored, and based on that, the final selection will eventually be made. You know, things like, you know, the body that would like to conduct this review has to have an understanding of the assignments that are in the RFP, of the timelines and the deliverables. They will have to demonstrate, you know, that they have an experience in conducting, you know, let's say broadly similar reviews, right, maybe of an ombudsman, of an international organization that is similar to ICANN, et cetera. You know, they should also demonstrate, we think, the understanding of not-for-profit or non-governmental organizations. That's probably quite important in this context, and certainly should have a commitment to working with ICANN's multi-stakeholder model, and as well have ideally, you know, at least a basic understanding of the workings from ICANN. We found that that's very conducive to an effective review. And I think we're going to have questions at the end. I'm going to pass this on now to Vivek, my colleague from procurement. Vivek, it's all yours. Take it away.
Thank you, Lars, and hello, everybody. This is Vivek Singhgupta, Director of Procurement with ICANN. I'm going to walk through this slide, which talks about the life cycle of an RFP process that we follow at ICANN. I'm not sure if everybody in the meeting and on the call has a background to RFPs. I'm assuming you may have some background, maybe either participating to an RFP, or you being involved actively, or maybe just hearing about an RFP. But essentially, an RFP stands for a request for proposal. It is strategic sourcing is the overall umbrella of what an RFP falls into. But really, it is a process by which we, it's a very structured process by which we select a particular provider or vendor to do a certain service or provide a certain goods that we would purchase. So it's a very standard process that we have in procurement. The chart that you see in front of you, it's like a waterfall model. It's a step-by-step process, and I wanted to just walk you through it very briefly. We have several phases or stages of the RFP process. It's pretty much standard across the industry, and that's what we also apply and use at ICANN. Before I start going through the steps, I wanted to just say that the RFP process is a very, to run an RFP process, you need to be very, there's something called purchasing ethics, and so we make sure that we are always abiding by all purchasing ethics, which are standard across the industry. For example, things like ensuring that all the suppliers or all the participants have the exact same information at all points. So we would not, one example would be during the RFP process, we would not want to provide information to one party and not provide it to another party. So those are the things, types of logistical things that we do abide by, and that falls under purchasing ethics. So walking through the steps here, there's a planning phase and there's a preparation phase. I think we are right now in the preparation phase for this RFP. Some of the slides that Lars just walked us through is right out of the preparation phase. For example, the requirements and also the selection criteria, et cetera, which we will need to obviously complete before we launch the RFP. Once we launch the RFP, we get into the RFP live phase. Now, the RFP live phase is just as the name suggests, it's when the RFP is live. It's open to the public or whoever wants to participate to provide a response to the RFP. So it's usually, a few weeks and then it closes. There's question and answers that we monitor via Q&A process, and then the RFP closes. The main part I wanted to focus on today was the RFP evaluation phase. You can see it's the biggest box on the screen. That's because it is quite an involved process to evaluate the suppliers or the providers in a fair manner. It's a two-stage process that we follow. We have an initial evaluation, and then we go into a detail or more final evaluation where we do our due diligence. The initial evaluation is just, collecting the responses. We have a very, it's a state-of-the-art system that we use at ICANN just for RFPs. And so we use that system to where the suppliers would log in to the system, and then, it's a monitored system through which we get all the bids, the responses, and so it's very easily handled in that system. In the past, we had to do it all, through email and through Excel spreadsheets, and that wasn't a very great process. But we have this system that we are using that helps us with that. The initial evaluation is we have a scoring mechanism, and it's a standard scorecard that we use for all the RFPs at ICANN. Larissa, Lars, and Sharla and others are very familiar with the process because they've been involved with RFPs before at ICANN. So we use that scorecard to score the initial responses coming in. When we are ready with the initial evaluation, then we invite in certain, we call them finalists, or certain people, the respondents who have made it to maybe the next round. We call them in for presentations. And then after that point, we get into a much more detailed due diligence process. So it could be ranging from customer reference calls to more telephone calls with the participants, where we have Q&A sessions, drilling deeper, deep dives into certain areas if necessary. Essentially, whatever is needed from a due diligence perspective is what we do. So background checks, OFAC checks, financial health checks if needed, essentially wherever. Every RFP is different, I would say. So we do have a long list of tools that we may use. We may not use all the tools for every RFP, but just to say that we definitely conduct due diligence wherever it is needed based on the RFP and based on the subject matter. That really is the process. Once we get to a final scorecard. We update the scorecard, and then it's really time to make the decision and then move forward as a group, as a consensus. Once we come to a decision as to which provider we want to go with, then the next, the last two stages are just semantics. It's just getting the contract in place, you know, negotiating a good price, and then awarding it to the vendor, and then starting the work. So that really is the life cycle of an RFP process at ICANN. Lars, back to you.
Thank you, Vivek. Just two more slides is what I meant to say, and then we'll hand it over to Q&A. Thank you for bearing with me. So this was the RFP process. You know, Vivek talked about the technicalities. I talked a little bit about the content of the RFPs. I'm going to talk a little bit about the process of the assessment itself. So we put together, we did some calculations. You know, all of these, you know, as you saw, there's various steps involved, the RFP process itself, as well as the assessing, contracting, and then the review itself. So, you know, it obviously can't happen, unfortunately, overnight, as many of you are probably already painfully familiar with. So if we look at this as a hypothetical, where we would start, you know, we would finalize and post the RFP in January, you know, that would allow us to evaluate the proposals and identify the finalists in February, and then probably at the very beginning of, depending on the time of the month, the beginning of March, it would hopefully confirm the assessor and do the contracting with them. And then as soon as that is done, you know, the following Monday, hopefully the review would start. Considering, you know, that this is obviously in terms of scale, a smaller review than, let's say, the GNSO review that concluded last year, just because of the function of the two. We expect this to run for a shorter period of time. You know, we're looking, let's say, between 6 and 8 weeks, hopefully over the ICANN meeting in Copenhagen. That would obviously be very useful, as I said earlier, for interviews, et cetera. And that would then hopefully give you a report submitted by the assessor, you know, at the end of April. When you buy something that has numbers involved, often there's terms and conditions. You see the small notes here at the bottom, the data estimates, and obviously could be subject to change. You know, there's always something that could come up, but from what we stand right now, we hope that together with you, we could be most efficient and get this done in this proposed time period. And then finally, the roles and responsibilities during the review itself, right? We always find this is a helpful slide, especially to those who might not have been involved in previous reviews. You know, the four players as we see it, the Ombudsman subgroup, so obviously that's you. You know, you would confirm the RFP. That would include the scope, you know, the stuff I went through, selection criteria, et cetera, and then also provide feedback on the scoring of the candidates once they have submitted their proposals, confirm the final selection made by the procurement office, and provide clarifications and obviously factual corrections to the examiner during the exam, right? So, you know, you should be there, you know, provide feedback and kind of make sure that they're on the right track at all times. obviously, your task would also be to review the final report that is submitted and then integrate the recommendations into the subgroup, so into your own final report that I understand you will then put forward to the WS2 plenary. The examiner is there looking to review documents and records, you know, conduct interviews, you know, run the review essentially, right, and then also prepare the final report, including implementable recommendations. Right, this is something we put a big emphasis on. These things should be very specific to make sure that they're as easy as possible implementable. The ICANN Ombudsman. So, you know, if you want the institution under or the organization with a small O under review, obviously we discussed this earlier with the help from legal, the input there will be part of this. You know, they have obviously a great insight. They can inform about processes and the work of the office itself, provide clarifications and corrections, you know, where necessary, and also provide input, hopefully, to the feasibility and the usefulness of the recommendations. And I think that your group will especially benefit from that when you prepare your own final report. And then ICANN-ORG, that is Larissa and her team, including Charla and myself, and obviously Vivek's team will be involved in the RFP process. So we're going to run the process in cooperation with you. We would support the outreach and the engagement as needed of the independent examiner during the review. So, you know, this includes sending out a questionnaire, if there's such a thing, to various mailing lists, et cetera, et cetera. Provide also clarifications and corrections if and when necessary or appropriate. And we're also there to liaise, obviously, between the examiner, the ombudsman itself, and the subgroup, so between, you know, the other three players on this slide. And with that, you'll be pleased to hear, I've come to the end of the presentation, and I'm going to throw it back to Sebastian in case there are any questions or, you know, depending on how you would like to proceed. Thank you.
It's Lars and Vivek and Larissa for the presentation, very useful and informative. If you have any question and feedback, it's a good time for raising your hand, and I see that Asha Amrajani want to take the floor. Go ahead, Asha, please.
Merci, Sebastian. This is Asha Amrajani. So thank you, Lars, Vivek, and excuse me for a second. Sorry, I had something go down wrong throat. Yes. Thank you, Lars, Vivek, and Larissa for presenting, for giving us a summary of the process. I wanted to ask a few questions. Based on your past experience with doing RFQs for selecting vendors to do reviews like this, what's the ballpark figure for how much this, something like this would cost? I mean, I know this is a tender, and you won't be able to give me a specific figure, but I'm just looking for a ballpark figure. Are we talking about tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands? That's my first question. And my second question is, and I think perhaps Lars or Vivek, one of you may have already covered it. I apologize if you have, but perhaps you could repeat it for my benefit, which is how are you going to, are there companies that do reviews specifically on the function of ombudsman, or are you going to look at the companies, rather approach the companies that we have used before, the vendors we have used before to do, for example, the GNSO review and the reviews of the other SOs and ACs. I just wanted to figure out whether there's going to be a different group of consultancies that will be approached. Thank you.
Asha, thank you very much for the question. I will jump in and then give Vivek an opportunity to offer his professional experience on this. As far as budgeting for this, obviously this is just
it's
a starting
point. It's Larissa speaking. You need to present yourself, please, because for recording purposes.
Thank you, Sebastian. I'm so sorry. Yes, this is Larissa Gurnick speaking. So in terms of additionally, the second part of Asha's question was who would we see as being qualified to do this work? These RFPs, so the request for proposal, once we all agree on the key aspects of it, when they go live, they're announced on ICANN.org, and we also then push them out through whatever available social channels and other channels to make sure that they are visible to the kinds of organizations that are likely to do this work. So I would not, I would definitely not see it as being restricted in any shape or form to those groups that have done prior work for ICANN. And while I am personally not an expert on the ombudsman function or office, but I know that you have participants in this group that are. So any suggestions about organizations that represent professionals that are most knowledgeable in this space, we would very much appreciate references to these organizations so that we could distribute the call, the RFP announcement, to a broad and diverse and potentially qualified group of people for them to respond. Thank you.
Thank you, Larissa. Asha, you have raised your hand. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Sebastian. So, Larissa, thank you very, very much for that response. I think you hit the nail on the head there. That was really what I was trying to get to. I would encourage as a wide possible call for proposals, and to to try to go to a wider spectrum of companies, or rather a wider range of companies that could possibly respond to this RFQ, as opposed to just sticking with the people we've used before, the companies we've used before. So I see that you agree with me on that. So thank you.
Thank you, Asha. Any other questions, comments? Okay, if not, I will ask one question. When we look to this slide about the role of each and everyone, I think it's very useful. But that means that, for example, the role we as a ombuds subgroup we will have to do it prior to this proposed schedule, for example, to finalize and post the RFP in early January, we will need to work from now on, hopefully we will have some rest for the Christmas, New Year, and the Chinese New Year, but except for that, I guess we will have to work on that. That's a first question. And the second, how we can ensure, and we will come back on that discussion with the group, but that people who are participating to this specific work are participating to the whole work and not just coming to one or the other meetings as some of the participants of this subgroup are doing. And my question is that, first of all, the planning, and the second, when you will need our input, and the second, it's what is your point of view about the size of the group to support this specific work within the whole task of the subgroup, ombuds subgroup? Thank you. It was Sebastian speaking, and now I see that Lars raised his hand, and then we will come back to Asha. First, Lars, please.
This is Lars, for the record. Thank you, Sebastian. So you raise a very good point, the timing, which I'm going to respond to first. So you're quite right. There would be some work done, if you look at the roles and responsibilities here, by your group in the run-up to the posting of the RFP. It's important to us, and I'm sure to you as well, that there is a general agreement about those issues that I mentioned, scope, selection criteria, deliverables, and also the methodology potentially. And so our proposal would be to send you a first draft of an RFP that contains all of this, basically based on the slides you have seen. So there wouldn't be any surprises. It'd just be more elaborate and in the right language that is appropriate for such a document. And then we would circulate that among the group. And then we'd be happy to have either another call to go through any questions you may have, or you can also provide comments amongst yourself in a red line document, for example, is something that works well. But we would be here to do this in the way that is most convenient to you. And then for the timing, yes, I mean, I know it's not my place to prescribe schedules for the for your group to meet. But you know, if you, once you see the review, the RFP, I'm sorry, it probably is useful to schedule a call relatively shortly afterwards. And then, depending on you know what your first impression is, we can then see whether we need 1, 2, 3, you know, 4 more calls potentially. You know, depending on the amount and the substance of the feedback that you have for us. We are willing to put the work in as best as we can, so I think I don't want to speak out of terms, but I think that we might be able to get something to you by the middle of next week. And then I believe, if I recall correctly, that the next meeting is scheduled for the 19th. Correct me if I'm wrong. But that would give you a few days to, you know, to... thank you. You know, they would give you a few days plus the weekend to study this and then get back to us on the 19th, and then maybe from then on we can see where we go from there time-wise. Sebastian, I think at the very end you asked a question about the size of the group. I didn't quite follow the question. The size is, you know, we have no issue with the size of the sub-team at the moment or the subgroup at the moment. You know, we... in organizational reviews, we have something called a working party, and quite often I believe the size of that working party is similar to that of this subgroup. And so from our perspective, that wouldn't be an issue. But if you decide you want to have, you know, a more focused or concentrated team of members that are specifically assigned to this, you're also very welcome to do that. That would be up to you to organize yourselves however you see fit. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Lars. Interesting inputs, and thank you for your answer. Aisha, please, go ahead.
Thank you, Sebastian. So I see the most critical piece in this whole review of the function, ombuds function, is the, at least in my view, one of the most critical pieces of this is coming up with a list of deliverables, because it's garbage in, garbage out. If we don't work, if the list of deliverables, is not specified clearly enough, then we're not going to get the desired, we're not going to get the desired outcome that we want from the company, that the, from the firm that is selected. So I think, I'm a bit concerned about that, and I think, you know, it would be good that the subgroup would spend, you know, sufficient time to work on the deliverables part, so that we're not disappointed with the recommendations that the eventual company that's selected comes up with. And I think that may be related to the point about size the subgroup that Sebastian alluded to. If I didn't get you wrong, Sebastian, I think you were referring to making sure we have enough people in the subgroup to do the work on the left hand side of this slide. Is that a correct assumption? Is that what you meant?
Thank you, Aisha. Sebastian speaking. Yeah, but it's also the other side. But we will come back on that later on in the discussion. I think it's important to see how we want to be organized ourselves to do this this job. As we discussed about dollars, may I suggest that you give us figures, but how they call that in legal, you redact them from any materials? Because if you don't publish it in the RFP, but you publish it in our recordings, and there is no big difference. Because I think that people who will answer their RFP will try to find information and will look at our discussions. And my suggestion, we need to arise from what it is written, but also maybe to do it in the recording, not because I don't want to have this information. It was great, but for the sake of the process, and that means also that all the participants need to keep that for themselves. It's an important part, I think. Thank you. My last point for this question is that if we come back to the goals, I will try to go to the right slide. I know that part of either deliverable or this scope of work. I do remember that in the 8032, some of the wording was a little bit different, and I would like to be sure that we keep in mind both what it was requested within the 8032 and what we put as our scope in this workstream too, because maybe they are complementary, they are not written the same way, then maybe for you guys and staff who will write the first RFP draft, it will be useful to have both. I just want to remember you that the recommendation 9.3 was review of the Office of the Ombudsman, the role within ICANN, and whether the duty scope of the Ombudsman should be expanded or changed in line with suggestions from the 8032. Even if we are not anymore 8032 group, we need to take that into account for the sake of completion of the work of the 8032. Okay, I have two people. Larissa, may I give the floor to Cheryl first, and like that you will be able to give your feedback and your answer, because I think that it will be useful to have Cheryl, as she was a member of the 8032 team. It's already the team, but please, Cheryl, if you would like to take the floor, now it will be great. Thank you.
Thank you, Sebastian. It's Cheryl Langdonor for the record. And yes, it looked like I was a member of the 8032 team, Sebastian, because I was at all the meetings and followed everything they did. But in fact, I was an 8031 member. I just got hooked on the whole process.
Cheryl. you had them, and then you are the right person to talk about that.
But I'm also, with this particular group included now, and I am keen to serve on this particular group with the Ombudsman Review, Office of the Ombuds Review, this will be three consecutive review team work parties that I'm going to be on. So I actually put my hand up to let the rest of this group know, which is the latest and last cab off the rank on my trifecta of review work parties. I just wanted to assure you all about the excellence, I would like to classify it as, and professionalism of the process that I've personally been through with both the development of the RFPs in the case of the ALAC and at-large review process. We're well into that now with the report drafting under very much close towards completion, well past the halfway point. and it's being conducted from both the ICANN side and by the external reviewer, the independent reviewer, in a highly professional and, in my view, very satisfactory manner, so nothing but gold stars there, but also for where we are about halfway into or almost completing the RFP development, ready to very shortly go out for tender with the review of the nominating committee. And again, I've seen a almost, but not quite identical, but equally professional and interactive and engaging process with the review work party there as well. So I just wanted to let everyone know that what you're about to enter into, providing we do our work and in a timely manner, and full and frank discussion amongst all of that, is that, you know, we are working, I think, on a very satisfactory likely outcome. The probability of a poor choice being made on the independent examiner is very small, based on, if not negligible, based on at least my experiences of this new process for selection and tendering of the examiners. Compared to the one that I was deeply involved with as chair of the ALAC when we had our first review back in 2009 or thereabouts. So it was more words of reassurance than a reference to ATRTs. But yes, Sebastian, I think if nothing else, we should strongly suggest in the first draft, and it is usually the way that the ICANN staff put the first draft together, and then we do a discussion and deliberation over it and suggest edits and comments. But it may very be useful to actually quote the 9.3 as a preamble piece to the SOWs. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Larissa, please. Go ahead.
Thank you, Sebastian. This is Larissa Gernick for the record. Cheryl, thank you. We appreciate that feedback. So I wanted to underscore a couple of things about this process. While the other reviews that Cheryl and Sebastian had talked about were reviews that are, well, now mandated by the bylaws, previously by the affirmation of commitments, what we're about to do for this effort is not really that. It's an assessment. It's an independent assessment. So in certain ways, it's similar to an independent review, but it's not structured the same way, and it doesn't have necessarily all the formality of being mandated by the bylaws. So I just wanted to underscore that it's similar, but it's also not the same as the reviews of a given ICANN organization or a specific review. But in terms of the RFP and the kind of the basic process and how we go about it, there's obviously a lot of similarities. And then my second point is on the connection between ATRT2 and this work. I just wanted to highlight that ATRT2 recommendation was made back in December of 2013. So certainly I think it's a very relevant starting point for the scope of work of what we want the independent party to weigh in on. But also a lot has transpired in terms of the accountability mechanisms and the accountability work and discussions that took place under Workstream 1 and 2 certainly have been significant and expansive. I would encourage you to think about what from the ATRT2 recommendation time is relevant, but also what from the current work that's taken place over the last 3 years might be also relevant, so that the effort that we ask the third party to conduct is really useful and provides useful input into your report as well as improvements to the Ombudsman Office. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Larissa. Sebastian speaking. And first, thank you, Cheryl, also for your inputs. Very useful. Regarding the comment of Larissa, I have no trouble, and yes, we have done a lot of work in Workstream 1, and we have started in Workstream 2. I just want to be sure that we keep in mind that part of the reason why we are doing a review today, it's also because it was requested by AT&T2s, and we need to keep that in mind. It's not to say that we need to do just what it was asked at that moment, and maybe there are things who change and who are not necessary to be taken into account, but maybe we just need to say that this was the starting point of our thinking in adding Workstream 1 and Workstream 2 into the process will be great. And just to be sure that we embedded AT&T2 and not leave this aside was my my main question here. Okay, we are supposed to end the call. I was not looking at the time. I am sorry about that. I would like to go, and sorry if I interrupt any other discussion. Can we go back to my presentation? I would like to share with you a few things very, very quickly, and sorry not to keep. I hope that maybe I need to start by that. Can we stay, let's say, 10 more minutes together, or it's too late for you and you want we skip just in 1 minute? Lars, please, you wanted to say something?
Thank you, Sebastian. This is Lars for the record. For the time, there's no issue at all. I just wanted to ask you, Sebastian, when you concluded with the remainder of your presentation, that we can just quickly talk about the next step. I alluded to the possibility of sending out an RFP to you next week, whether that would work for you to write feedback, hopefully, and have a discussion on this during your next call. That's all. Thank you. But we'll stay on the call for sure.
Okay. If you strongly disagree with 10 more minutes, please put a red mark or whatever, disagree on the pod. I will go quickly. We don't need to discuss that, but it was some of the slide we have made about the evaluation, and then it's the topic we will need to include that. But when we will get the RFP, we will be able to discuss that in more detail. One of my question, it's how to organize our team. Why I am asking this question? We have currently 22 members. 22 participants, and we are not 22 participating really at this ASOS call. May I suggest that we set up a small team comprised of the one who are really participate to, let's say, who were at two of the four last meeting or three of the five last meeting, whatever metrics we want to use, just to be sure that we have a core team to follow that in more detail, because if not, I am a little bit afraid that we will have people who are just coming once upon a time and will not know about that. I leave you that as a question. We don't need to answer that straight on. We can discuss that during our next call, and how we want to be organized to follow that in more detail. That's my suggestion for going on. Then the next slide was something we need to keep in mind. It's the relationship between our group and the other design teams. And during we will have a Workstream 2 plenary on the 14th of December, and what I would like to give as feedback is that we start the work on the review. We got the budget, and we are working on the RFP. And the second topic I would like to raise is that we will organize ourselves to do some task in parallel, and we need to decide which one we can handle in parallel in the future. It will be part of our next call to discuss that in detail. And the next call, we will discuss, if the calendar is okay with you, please send to the list feedback if there are trouble. I try really to take into account both Christmas, New Year in, I would say, Western Hemisphere or part of the world. And I took also into account the Chinese New Year. If I miss some New Year or some important feast in the world, just tell me and we will try to move the schedule. It's why maybe a subgroup will be useful to have some call in between with a small set of us. Sorry to run. And our next call will be the 13th one, and will be on Monday. We will be back on Monday meeting. Just to be sure to tell you, it's not written in this, the 19th of December, it will be a 5 a.m. UTC time, and we will follow on the RFP, and we will discuss what could be handled in parallel. And then talking about the next meeting. Once again, sorry to be so quick in this last part, but I thought it was important to have this in-depth discussion about the RFP. Thank you very much for any inputs or any comments on the presentation I have made quite quickly. If not, I just want to remind you that we have still a document, not really, we didn't work on that, but it will be discussed again in the next meeting to see what we need to do and how we can handle all those points, if any, and any other business. Okay. Once again, sorry to be late the end of this call. Thank you very much for your participation. Thank you, staff, for the very good and interesting inputs and very useful ones for discussing in this group. And Samantha, please thanks the legal staff for the answer and the good work done by you. And thank you for all the participants, and talk to you soon on the list and at the latest on the 19th of December at 5 a.m. UTC. Here I conclude this call. We're thanking you again all. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Sebastian. Thanks, Sebastian. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Thank you.